Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of hip in that guy's house. Binkley's still talking about the Olympics.
Dang, man, he's 100% in, if you didn't know.
Also, if you didn't know,
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Wednesday, baby.
I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
That's right. It is Wednesday, so it's the Fesco Dusty Wednesday poll question. Who is the Chiefs' biggest rival, in your opinion, in the AFC West? Is it the Donkeys? Is it the Silver and Black? Or is it the Bolts? For those of you just joining us, that is the Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers. By the way, there are 109 votes already tiled in there. 59.6% say Broncos. 19.3% say Raiders. 21.1% say Chargers. I believe that to be recency bias and the generations evolving through time.
Yeah, no, I think you're...
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
100% right about that. I think it's a definite generational poll up there on Twitter because recency would say nobody is a contender to the Chiefs, right? But Denver's the last team to really do anything in this division. The Chargers, I don't think, will ever be a contender unless they start winning and really becoming a thorn in the side of Kansas City. I don't think the Chargers are part of the conversation. They're like the kids table, you know? I think the adult table is always going to be the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Broncos, and then the Chargers are always going to be over there getting the leftovers and picking up whatever fell on the floor. But for me, like
this is more rival than contender. So when you see that team, like you're like, God, I hate the Broncos.
Yeah, I don't think does anybody feel that? Did anybody vote for the Chargers?
I mean, 19.7.
Wow. Okay, so like 19 out of 100 votes are for the San Diego Chargers. That's interesting. I'd like to know why you picked the Chargers on that one. That's the one. Like I need the I need the why on the Chargers
because hating Philip Rivers.
Because the question is what? Who is the
biggest rival to the Chiefs?
Who is the biggest rival? Yeah. Right. Okay. Rival.
Because I think the Chargers. I think the mass media outside of local would be why you would hate the Chargers. Like everybody always picks the Chargers.
That's a fair point. Well, Carrington too.
He had a billboard one time.
Yeah.
Raiders. I think there's still people that are hanging on those 70s and 80s years, and maybe the early 90s. And then the Broncos are like people like Mac and I.
Right.
Where Mac grew up in the diehard of the beginning of his fandom and Peyton Manning's out here just destroying his life at age 14. That's just, or 16 probably. And then for me, you know, John Elway at the end of it. And then that damn Jake Plummer guy who ran bootlegs all the time that we knew it was coming, but he still did. Now he's into the snake oil.
Yep.
Groovy.
And that's what it's called, too, if I'm not mistaken,
snake
right? It is called. I mean, he was Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
There's a law that if your name is Jake, you have to be the Snake.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yep.
Jake the Snake Plumber.
And if your name is Smith, you're Smitty.
Yep.
Smitty.
And then, you know, then after that happens, here's, I think, one of the biggest, you know, losses in my fandom, 2003. The no punt game.
Yeah, that game. Yeah.
And I'm like, here we go. And it's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, it's already placed for the Colts. Hold my beer. Peyton Manning might go to the Kansas City Chiefs. Actually, there's a guy there that I don't want to play with. I'm going to go to Denver. Okay, great. Goes to Denver, whips our ass for like 4 years. And since then, it's been nice.
That rumor that he was coming here was hot for about a day. I mean, and then we saw the plane fly over
and
he emptied the toilet and he kept going to Denver. And that's kind of where it ended up at that point in time. But I think ultimately, like, I'm not... I'm glad we didn't get Peyton Manning because maybe we don't get Mahomes. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like everything that happens for a reason happens for a reason. That's how I believe and whatnot. And I know I'm a little weird in that, but I think maybe if we get Peyton Manning, maybe we never got Patrick Mahomes. And I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes, right, for what we've got now than have a hot minute with Peyton Manning.
Also fair to ask you, as this started to cut you off, is it fair to say that Andy Reid and Peyton Manning probably aren't the best combination?
I don't know that. I see now if Andy was here at the time, I guarantee you Peyton would have come.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Right.
I mean, like, I don't know. I think it would have been fun to watch.
Because like that's one of those things where Peyton's like, yeah, you don't need to worry about anything. But Andy's kind of like, I gotta be involved.
I see what you're saying.
Whereas like
yeah.
Andy brought up, you know, McNabb. He helped out Michael Vick when he came back.
Yeah.
Kevin Cobb. Whoever
Alex Smith gave a second chance
right,
too.
And Alex
right?
Smith is one of those guys that like needs the assistance.
That's interesting. That's Whereas, a great like, point. I never thought of that.
Because to be fair, from what I was told as a kid, it wasn't really, you know, rainbows and butterflies with Marty and Joe. Because Joe was like, let me just worry about the offense. You worry about it. And Marty's like, nah, no. We're gonna do it my way. We're gonna run the ball. And then Joe's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Now I know that he got absolutely obliterated that AFC championship in 95 or 94, yeah. whatever it was. And it was no matter what, you could tell that after that he's like, yeah, I'm out.
But if you're like, but see, that's again,
but Andy and Peyton work.
Yes, because Andy Reid gets it. Andy yeah. Reid has been the greatest adapter as a head coach that I've seen in my entire life. I have never seen anybody adapt like Andy Reid. The coaches that don't adapt, right? Those are the ones who lose it. And look, Marty did nice in the regular season and they surrounded him with great players. Obviously, we know he wasn't a playoff coach, but a guy like Todd Haley, again, you know, he was his own worst enemy because instead of just conceding and letting Charlie Weiss run the offense where he turned Matt Cassel into a Pro Bowl quarterback overnight, they fought with each other. And you know, it was like two kids in the sandbox throwing sand at each other. The coaches who aren't able to adjust, accept, change, and give others credit are always the ones that fail. And if you have a guy like Peyton Manning or Joe Montana, I don't care who the hell you are as a head coach, you got to take a back seat to that guy, right?
No doubt.
You've got to take a back seat to that guy and allow them to do what's made them great because Joe Montana and Peyton Manning were great quarterbacks before they got to Marty Schottenheimer and or Andy Reid or whoever, you know, Peyton Manning was going to go play with in Denver. You let them do their thing and you let them just, you know, have control because they've done it. They're Hall of Famers. There's a reason why. But if he were to work with Andy Reid, it would have been glorious because Andy Reid understands the player. Andy Reid understands the game of football better than anybody that I've ever seen. He also is ahead of the curve on a lot of stuff. And I know if we had Binkley on, he'd be talking about the hiring of that guy, Chris Ault, who came in, who was the mastermind behind the system that Alex Smith was most successful in. And Andy Reid went and hired that guy as a consultant to help him get the most out of Alex Smith. So based on Andy's track record and everything that he's done, him and Peyton Manning would have been a symphony, man. It would have been awesome because Andy would have let him do his thing too. He lets Pat do his thing, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, he taught Pat the way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No. Pat was a blank canvas for Andy Reid. Yeah. 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 Peyton Manning obviously would have been a finished Picasso and he would have been just like, all right, you guys do your thing and I'll handle something else and we'll figure, you know, how to make this thing work. And it's interesting when you brought up those quarterbacks that Andy's been with, a lot of them have been blank canvases that kind of needed that fresh start, or it was obviously with, you know, McNabb and with, you know, Patrick Mahomes, it's their first go at it in the NFL. So he had the ability to kind of mold them when they got here and then took over, you know, obviously Michael Vick being in prison and Alex Smith being down in the dumps and not being able to, you know, figure things out at the NFL. And he rebounded them. Like Andy Reid is marvelous, man. I don't know why we have this conversation about the 74-year-old marrying a 24-year-old and calling him the best coach in the history of the NFL. And you know, we had the conversation yesterday.
Finally got a ring without Brady.
Right, exactly. Finally got the ring without Brady. But I mean, we talked about it yesterday with do championships matter and how I was ranking my head coaches, and they do. But the further we get away from this, I mean, we understand that Belichick has those accomplishments, but he can't hold a candle to Andy Reid. Andy Reid is so effing good, man, at being a football coach. He may be the best at doing his job in the world, whatever their job is. Does anybody do their job better than Andy Reid does head coaching in the NFL? I mean, Spector, obviously.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's a Harbaugh that doesn't like his quarterback being in the Olympics. Plus, there's a Belichick story that continues to break open more and more. We'll dive into all of that on their side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
I don't understand cotton candy at a baseball game. You gotta walk to the bathroom to wash your hands. It gets all over your face. For God's sakes, it gets in your hair.
That's awful.
It's not even cotton. It's not even candy. Buy your kids nerd clusters. Nerd clusters are dangerous, by the way.
All right, so where are you guys on nerds? I was having a conversation clusters. With some of the folks at Andy's yesterday about nerds in the custard and whatnot. That's a kid thing right now. It's a big trend.
Yeah, I don't like it. Hard stuff in my cream.
Okay, that's fair. Mac, where are you on the nerds?
I know that I'm hard.
Nerds never like nerds. Nerd clusters.
Nerd clusters are pretty good, though.
That's where it's at.
That's the hot candy right now. So you're going to go to Andy's and get a concrete with like nerds clusters in it if they offered something like that?
I would definitely do that.
You would do that. Okay. All right. Again, a generational type thing like our poll. I'm not a huge nerds cluster fan in my ice cream. I like peanut butter, chocolate, you know, that simple kind of stuff. I got a jackhammer from Andy's the other day. I told you it was just vanilla custard with peanut butter in the middle. so good.
Good night, Cincinnati.
It was over. It was done. Probably go there after school today, get another custard. I think it is a generational type thing, you know, with the nerds because the kids do love that today and whatnot. But like the Raiders, Chiefs, and Chargers poll that we have going on. I'm an older generation. The rate. Oh my gosh.
We're good.
Oh my gosh.
Where's Matt Derrick?
Oh my goodness. That wasn't as bad as the Matt Derrick incident, but I mean,
it's on camera. That's essentially what happened to Matt Derrick.
No, mine was the entire thing. Shorted out the man's keyboard, burned his leg, left him for dead. He's like, "That's okay, Bob." I'm like, "You are the nicest guy in the world. I love Matt Derrick. I'm so sorry still to this day that I burned his keyboard up."
You look great, man. You've lost a lot of weight. Sorry, geek. Here's coffee on your door. Oh, by the way, at halftime, I'm going to spill all my mixed nuts all over your entire section, too. You thought the Chiefs had a bad offense that day.
That should have been the omen, Dusty, right there.
As soon as you split the peanuts, Bob looked at me and goes, "You ready to get out of here?" I said, "I don't know. We got to drag Mac out of here." Oh, yeah. Literally within an hour, we had Guy brought his own barbecue sauce.
Right. And then
DeAndre Hopkins dropped it.
Yeah.
Bob drops coffee all over a laptop, spills peanuts everywhere, looks at me, closes the notebook, says, "You ready to go?" I'm like, "Dude, I've been ready to leave for about 30 minutes. Oh, yeah.
That was the Super Bowl in a nutshell right there.
And then
there.
We came back, and they told us, "We're never seeing you guys again."
Yeah.
Said, "Don't worry about it. One and done."
Yeah, we're good. The rest are on the West Coast. They'll never let us out again. But it is a generational type thing in our poll because the Raiders, man, growing up, that was it. You wanted to beat the Raiders. They fought with the Chiefs. They punched the Chiefs. They hurt Len Dawson. Like, all this kind of stuff over the years, they've been developed. And then, obviously, it was a big rivalry for Lamar. He made it big with Carl. Carl and Marty made it bigger. Dick Vermeil carried that tradition forward. And then the Raiders dissipated like a winter storm, and they haven't been relevant basically since 2002. And so that kind of rivalry faded away, and a lot of the newer generation of fans that, you know, came around in the early 2000s and were born, you know, 30 years ago, they've adopted the Denver Broncos as that rivalry. And it's interesting to see how that rivalry between those two teams has drastically changed. I think a competitive rivalry with Denver, but a hatred vitriol rivalry with the Raiders, I think, is how I kind of look at it.
No, I'm with you. Because, look, I mean, the Raiders still kind of do things that, like, they'll spark that. I don't know, man. I want
to hate the Raiders, man. They haven't given me anything to. I can't get
it. They have flare-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like an STD. Like, they go away for a while, and all of a sudden you're like, "Where the hell did that come from?"
Yeah,
again,
like it pops, like, on your lip or something like that.
The,
like,
route around
sore,
the stadium.
Yeah.
They weren't anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden we hear the story of Josh Jacobs, like, don't do the midfield thing, and they're not going to handle it very well. They do it anyway. Jacobs gets traded. That game, the Raiders get blown out, and you're like, "What's going on here?" Like, I didn't think they were relevant, and all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, yeah, they're in Vegas that one night that happened," and now it always comes back every 3 or 4 years and reminds you that it's still around. That's what the Raiders
are. Yeah, that's kind of the Raiders.
If that's inappropriate.
Yeah, but they're not around long enough to really cause a lot of damage, you know, like a summer cold or something like that and whatnot. But I've always hated them because they were always cheap shot artists. And, you know, the whole Al Davis rivalry was great. But now, again, like, they have not been relevant since they played Tampa in that Super Bowl. I don't know that they have a playoff win since playing them in the. I don't think the Raiders have a playoff win since the AFC Championship game that year to get them into that Super Bowl. I could be wrong. I don't know that I am on that one, though.
Yeah. So one thing that we're not wrong about is that this whole situation with Belichick and Miss Jordan is absolutely insane, off the rails. The movie one day will be great. The documentary on it will be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
have they already started making that for Netflix?
I don't know. I did go down a rabbit hole yesterday, seeing everything that's coming out on Netflix this summer for like movies or documentaries. And one of them is the Titan Voyage that exploded, seeing the Titanic.
Oh,
so that'll get that's coming out in like June.
But we already know how that ends.
Yeah,
rich people doing stupid things.
But there might be more. And then you have Happy Gilmore 2.
Yeah.
I believe is July 14th or July 25th. It's somewhere around there. That was also one of them. But
did you watch the Favre documentary yet? No. On Netflix? I started that yesterday and finished it yesterday. It's an hour and 3 minutes. Fell asleep halfway through.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I want what you stole from me,
man. Yeah, like that wasn't in there, though. That should have been in there. The fight with Gaston would have been more interesting than anything else. And this guy with the welfare stuff. I'm not going to say anything about Favre. I don't want to get sued. But I just didn't find it to be all that interesting. I thought it was more about Jen Sturger than it was about Brett Favre, which is fine. And if, you know, I felt like it was good from her perspective. But from the Favre perspective, just some of the things that he did, I'm like, oh, yeah, Mahomes does a lot of that, too. You know, he had a lot of underhand throws and magical moments that, for whatever
reason.
That was
like his first comp. It was him and Randall Cunningham.
Yeah.
I remember when he was drafted, like, it could be Randall Cunningham, could be Brett Favre. He's got a gunslinger mentality. But he just, his footwork is terrible, and he improvises too much. And I don't know if he's going to be able to be controlled under this Andy Reid offense. 2025.
I think the best comparison of Patrick Mahomes, and this is taking a total turn, it is a Brett Favre, Joe Montana sandwich. It is a combination of those two. You've got the reckless ability to play like Brett Favre did with the underhand passes and the improvising that Montana also had. Mm-hmm. But Patrick Mahomes also has the smarts of Joe Montana. Like Patrick Mahomes is not going to put his team in a position to lose a game ever. It has never have done that, right? Like, you can't really think of that many Mahomes moments where you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that, which is what they said he was going to do because that's what Brett Favre did, right? He's got the smarts of Joe Montana, the gunslinging ability of Brett Favre combined into one quarterback. And that's what I kind of taken away from the Favre documentary and the Montana one that was on a couple of years ago. You saw Montana doing stuff that, you know, obviously Patrick Mahomes is doing today. I think he's a mashup of those two guys.
Bob's going to hate this from my side of the topic. I think he's Elway mixed with Aaron Rodgers.
I don't necessarily hate that. Aaron Rodgers is very smart.
Right. Yeah. The Aaron Rodgers of, like, before we lost it.
Yeah, 2011. Yeah. Right.
Because Aaron Rodgers used to do plays where you're like, what the hell was that?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, he just threw that from his hip and it went 60 yards and the guy caught it in his left side of his body for another 10 yards after the catch. And then Elway, the reason I say Elway is because, like, the 13-second game, like the heart ripping out of your chest, 4th-and-9, left-handed on Monday Night Football. And then coincidentally, John Elway, or ironically, John Elway hands them the trophy to become, you know, the dynasty that they are. So, I don't know, that's there. But the Belichick thing and the Jordan thing, she tells one person yesterday, and this happens right when we're in post-production meeting after the show, and here's the story now that supposedly he has proposed to her, or maybe she proposed to him, but either way, they are engaged. She has told one person of source, and then that source, like wildfire, lets everybody know. So he's going to get married to this woman.
I guess he's marrying Jordan. Yeah, I mean,
and
it's
she's just 2 years younger.
That's exactly right. Okay. Yeah, she's 24 and he's 74.
Okay,
those kids. She is less than a decade older than my children, my eighth grader and my freshman in high school. She's less than 10 years older than both of them, and she's marrying a 74-year-old.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, let's say that, like,
it's weird. I don't care how you look at it. It's weird.
No,
right.
It's weird. Imagine if I was dating a 74-year-old.
I would love it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
The double standards would probably be alive.
For sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. No, the double standards are definitely. Double standards
that Ron Slay gave you.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, I don't know if a 74-year-old is considered a cougar. But
no,
you know,
they're considered like in the home almost, you know, like that's my mother is 74. Mac dating my mother.
That's weird to say out loud.
Seriously, but that's what it would be.
That's very weird.
Mac would be dating my mother.
Oof. No offense, Bob. Ew.
Right.
No offense. Yeah, that's
And Belichick's giving off vibes of not ew. I mean,
of course, Belichick. Ugh.
I mean, you look at that guy. It looks like he just woke up in a box.
Well, if you look at the ring video that went out, shirtless and walking out of there, lost and delirious. That's like me looking for the newspaper, knowing that there hadn't been a damn newspaper delivered to my house in 15 years.
I mean, remember Tony Soprano walking down and getting the Star Ledger and scratching his ass? Like that's what that looks like, right? I mean, that's exactly what that looks like. I mean, it's weird. And I was thinking about it. I asked my wife this question last night. I go, what would you do in 10 years if one of the girls brought home, like, Bill Belichick?
Can you pay all of this off before it ends?
I mean, yeah, right, exactly. There's a little of that. She better get money, you know, type of thing. But, I mean, there was a long pause and a lot to think about, because it's easy to sit here and say, oh, my God, that's gross, that's disgusting, when it's not your family, right, when it's not your kid. And my wife said to me, she goes, well, I'm going to find out first, do you love this person? And if you really do love this person and you're actually in love with this person, then it will change the way that I perceive this type of relationship. But if I'm sitting on the couch and my daughter brings home, I'm trying to think of somebody locally that we could compare it to. I don't even know who it would be. Ned Yost or something like that, right? Here, this is my new boyfriend, Ned. Or what? I'm like, Ned? Like 80. What the hell's going on here, right? Like,
the hell's Brett Favre doing here?
Right, exactly.
I'm in town to play the Dolphins, you dumbass.
Yeah. But like Ned is kind of in that age range. He's actually younger than Belichick, I believe, right? Wow. And so whoever the case may be, if your child brings home somebody 50 years older than them and now is engaged to them, it's going to be some serious conversations that have to take place. I would initially be creeped out. I'd initially say no, but you have to talk to your kid about it and find out, what are we doing here?
So Mac was born in
98.
Jordan was born in 2000. So just did some due diligence during the break to figure some things out from the year 2000. Do you want to guess what the highest grossing movie of 2000 was? I'll give you a hint. Jim Carrey.
Mask. Liar, liar.
Those are all in the 90s.
Yeah, I was going to guess Mask, too. No, I don't know.
It was How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It broke records for the highest weekend debut for Christmas-themed film and non-sequel. You've been watching that with your family and your loved ones for the last 15 years.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Great movie.
That's right. She was born when that came out. Gladiator, historical drama that got all the acclaim that year. Mission Impossible 2 came out.
Whoa.
We're on Mission Impossible 10. Meet the Parents came out.
They did. They met the he met the parents, all right.
That's right.
Yes.
Florence Nightingale over here can't catch a volleyball. Set me up. I'll get it. Castaway came out.
Wow.
So then you go and say, okay, well, what were the top songs? In January, it was Smooth by Mr. Rob Thomas and Santana.
I feel like that song was released yesterday.
So yeah. Give me a sample.
I don't know. Yeah. That's the generic
version. That's kind of how it starts.
We can't play licensed music.
I was going to say, I'd play it.
And you're just like the ocean under the moon. It's the same as the emotion that I get from you.
Okay.
You got the kind of love that make me be so smooth. Yeah. So give me your heart, make it real, or else we'll get about it.
And then yes.
What a Girl Wants, Christina Aguilera. Still
what
doing
a girl
this.
Wants.
He knows that
what
one.
What a girl needs. Whatever makes you bend at your knee.
Say my name.
Say my name. Say my name.
Yep. Let's see here. What else we got? It's Gonna Be Me. Before it was Gonna Be May. The meme of the meme or whatever Bryce Harper called it started then. Like, that's where that is. Top rated United States television programs in the year 2000. Number one.
In the Survivor. Year 2000.
ER was still on.
Wow, ER was still rolling, huh?
Noah Wiley was still cutting into bodies with George Clooney and she was born. That's how long ago this was. It's crazy to think this. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was on Wednesday and Tuesday.
Oh, and Regis was still alive back then. Yeah.
Everybody Loves Raymond, Friends, and Monday Night Football were still going strong.
Everybody Loves Raymond had just started right about then, too. They were hitting their stride right about the year 2000.
My God, I just found this out. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was like the NFL. It was on Wednesday, Tuesday, Sunday, and Thursday.
Whoa. It was all over the place.
And Christmas.
It was the NFL before the NFL. Regis Philbin looks like my mother's friend Helen.
Okay.
Sweet.
Do you want to guess who the highest paid actor was in the year 2000?
No, I don't know.
I'm going to guess Jerry Seinfeld.
I wish. It was Bruce Willis. Guess. He was the highest paid actor. He was also the highest growing star of the year at the domestic box office. Other top earners included Tom Hanks, Julia Roberts, and everyone's favorite Mel Gibson.
Jeez. What about when Bill Belichick was born? 1952.
Okay.
Yeah, the TV didn't exist.
When the Knicks won their first title?
Yeah, exactly. Binkley was complaining about the tush push.
Yeah, the Abbott and Costello show. Yeah. The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet.
My dad wasn't even alive. 1952. What do you think the top song was in 1952?
I'm going to say Stand By Me. No, there's probably something. Shoo wop. But do up.
Yeah, magic.
Lottie
Miss Claudie. That's what it says. Lottie Miss Claudie.
Lottie Miss Claudie.
By Lloyd Price.
I was growing up listening to that crap because my parents, like, I don't know that I know that song.
Oh, my gosh. That was the number one song in 1952. I've never heard Lottie Miss Claudie.
See if you can find it and play it. Good golly, Miss Molly!
I remember that one. That it wasn't that. So yeah,
who was that? Richard Little.
Yep,
Little Richard.
The Greatest Show on Earth was the highest grossing film in 1952. Also, High Noon and Quiet Man were both critical and box office, success. Huh? Never heard. Is the greatest show? No, that's The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, The Greatest Show. I mean, that's Jerry Jones.
So do you think he makes it his entire year at North Carolina?
I don't think so.
No way?
I mean, I say there's no way. Where there's a will, there's a way, obviously. And where there's a will, there's a, you know. But that's why the family's mad. They're afraid she's going to take all the money from them, you know. And I think rightfully so at this point in time. Like, you've got to understand why this is. But as a dad, it's creepy. It's weird. But I would have to have a long conversation with my child about it to find out, like, what's going on here in this situation. What's the end game with all of this? But I don't know, man. Like, I just think right now he's not representing North Carolina in the way that North Carolina likes to be represented.
Or that they thought.
Right. Like they got a bill of goods here, no pun intended. And it's just the whole thing has been bizarre. The story came out yesterday. She wanted to own Hard Knocks and get cuts off of that and have creative control. Like, who are you?
A businesswoman.
I mean, like, but you're who are you? Like, why are you getting involved in this? Like, who appointed you to this type of stuff? I guess Bill probably appointed her to that, right?
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Carolina got confused with the wrong Jordan.
No!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
Got a few minutes here for One Word. Love that we had a text that even said no one word today. Love that it's becoming a staple of the 7:30 of Fesco and Dusty. Here we go. One word on the international slate, expanding this from NFL Nerd. The international slate for the NFL will soon have 16 games annually, opening the door for all 32 teams to play internationally each season.
There's your Netflix package right there.
Mm-hmm.
So Netflix is your word?
Yep.
Yeah. Obvious, we knew this was coming. It went from one game a year to two games a year to all of a sudden London's new team is Jacksonville to four games a year. Might as well just go all in with it. So it's inevitable.
And it's coming on the heels of now every team has an international territory that they're basically allowed to market in. I think the Chiefs have six different ones. Mm-hmm. Spain is one of their territories now. We're playing games in Spain. That may be a future site for Kansas City. This year they have the nine home games, so it won't be next year, but probably the year after. They could potentially go to Spain. Buffalo's got Canada.
This from our guy Buck Rising.
Mm.
Titans today announced that the team has been awarded the international marketing rights in Ireland as part of the NFL's global marketing program. One word on the Titans announcing international marketing rights.
Well, it's everybody getting international marketing rights now. Growth. Growth is the way to do that.
Lucky. At least somebody wants them. Tennessee doesn't. They wear Tennessee's bags like, over their heads.
Oh, my God. We don't want to go to Ireland.
They want the Royals. Not going to get them.
Yeah, it was cool to see the map yesterday come out and see where they, like, basically it's a bit of a game of risk by the NFL. They have just taken over the world. Whether those countries want these teams or not, could you imagine being, like, one of these countries that got awarded, I don't know, the Cardinals?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think you'd just be happy to have that sport. I mean, I'd imagine if we got, you know, I don't know, Wolverhampton. That's our team. Big, all right, well, at least we'll get a good team to come play us.
The Dagwise? All right, one word on what Missouri State Representative Mark Sharp said on The Drive yesterday. Here it is.
Well, I think the Kansas package may be just maybe be a tad sweeter, but not much. Not enough to want to relocate. That's for sure. And again, Arrowhead, you know, for Arrowhead to consider staying where they're at, which is a really pretty fairly convenient consideration with all the space they have around there. Imagine Kauffman Stadium, you know. And again, I grew up going to, you know, games at the K. You know, I'm not really wild about seeing, you know, the stadium knocked down in any capacity. But that might be where we're headed. And if the Royals move to Clay County or move downtown or whatever the case is, the Chiefs are going to have are going to be in a real good position to expand what might be some sort of a sports entertainment district. And I think a lot of folks would be excited about that.
There was Mark Sharp.
Was that the lawyer from My Cousin Vinny?
He didn't kill anyone. We intend to prove that they.
That's all I heard is the guy from My Cousin Vinny. The other guy went up the stairs in Odyssey, couldn't catch his breath. This guy couldn't say a sentence. Get it over with. 27-10. 5 seconds left. Kansas leads. I don't know how many words that was. Screw it.
I really don't have anything to add to that. Missouri, you've had over a year to figure this out, and you're acting like you just woke up and found out that this was going on. That's, I mean.
That's it. What about everything we talked about?
Yeah. I mean, you've had since April 5th of last year to figure this out. People are like, I don't understand why we're in such a rush.
Visit the sack of suds. Convenience store.
That's it.
I mean, what's the difference between Kansas and Missouri when it comes to which deal is sweeter? I don't know. There's no vote, and Kansas actually has a plan. Like, Missouri legitimately does not have a plan. Kansas has got a plan. It expires in 30 days. Yeah. Do you want it or not? Or do you want to go with these guys who ain't got no plan? And then it's got to be voted on.
No doubt.
I mean, that... That guy also went on to say, well, we got to convince St. Louis and the Boot Heel to be on board. You should have been doing that for the last year.
Coming up on the other side, we get to the yesterday we did the best Chiefs offense since 2000.
Imagine being the country of Nigeria and being awarded the Cleveland Browns. That's the Browns international market. Like, if you're in Nigeria and you're waking up, we got an NFL team. Who do we have? The Browns. I'd rather not have one.
Can we take them and send them back? We've already got these Chiefs Super Bowl victory shirts that they didn't win. Coming up on the other side, the worst Chiefs offensive players since 2000. We did the best yesterday. We do the worst. You can chime in. 913-586-7965 since the year 2000. Worst Chiefs offensive players. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Dusty's still cleaning up the coffee that he spilled. Nothing like I did over Mac Derrick's computer. I'm looking back at my notes of the Super Bowl, Dusty. I didn't take one note after the second quarter.
No, you shot your that book. Super you said Bowl. Time
yeah, I did. I'm looking at it right now. That is proof, and I'm looking at the coffee stains all over it too. So, sorry,
go
Matt.
Back to Sneaky Pete's.
Mac met a friend there.
Well, I mean, I don't remember who I met there. After about an hour, that was a hell of a night. That night,
Joey Chestnut was there.
You guys want to take a photo with
me?
No, not really.
Douche.
Yeah.
I think anybody disagrees with that one.
No doubt. Yesterday we did the best Chiefs offense since 2000. Today we can do the worst Chiefs offense since 2000.
Yeah, this took some time.
It kind of did. The one that took the most amount of time was the running back position. So, Mac, you're the first name on the list. Why don't you go ahead?
Mine was easy for me anyway, but you guys can go ahead.
The running back was what was hard for me, Dusty. I still don't feel great about it. I just changed it. I'm going to stick with it. I got Brody Croyle at quarterback. 0-10, I believe it was, for the Croylester. I got CEH at running back. He's a first-round pick. He was a bust. He didn't work out. There are multiple reasons, both football and non-football related, for that. It's what I chose. Wide receiver, this was easier. I got Sky Moore. I got Baldwin. I got Sammy Parker. And then I got Tony Moyaki, tight end position.
The best it ever was.
Who's your offensive line?
Oh, man. Yeah, I didn't know we did that.
Didn't do that.
We did it yesterday.
Oh, you're right. We did do it yesterday. Okay, give me 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
5 seconds.
One.
All right, I'll take over since I've got all of them. Yeah, you guys work on your offensive line. For me, it's easy. Quarterback, Tyler Thigpen or Palko. Choose a Tyler, any Tyler, and we'll let you have that guy at the quarterback. Or there was a gentleman who started one game named Matt Gutierrez. I played one game for the Kansas City Chiefs at the quarterback position, so he also makes the list for me. Tight end, I've got a gentleman by the name of Sean Ryan that played on the 09 team. Never heard of the guy until yesterday, so he makes my list. Running back is very easy. It's LeSean McCoy. He is clearly the worst running back on this team since the year 2000. He stunk here, then he stunk afterwards and destroyed everybody on the way out the door. LeSean McCoy, worst running back in Chiefs history since the year 2000. Wide receivers, John Baldwin, Snoop Minnis, and Lance Long. There was a famous quote from Todd Haley, I wish we had 22 Lance Longs on the team. And Lance Long didn't do anything, Todd. And then my offensive line from left to right, Damian McIntosh, Cam Irving, Rudy Niswanger, John Asamoah, and, of course, Barry Richardson. I-69, man. That guy would open up his side and everybody run by him. So that's my 11.
I'll take that exact same offensive line.
No,
those are
you
good
can't
names.
Do that. No. You can't do that.
My quarterback is Damon Yeard. That guy put me through a hell of a time watching him play quarterback. Running back is Michael Bennett. For multiple reasons, I thought he was going to be a good running back here with that speed.
I forgot about
him. And then when I worked at Champs, he told me to hold him a pair of Jordans. He said he'd reward me with a pair of tickets to the 49ers game. The tickets were where Jordan Love's mother sat. Wide receiver.
But you got the tickets.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, he'd say he's going to hook me up.
Yeah, that's not hooking
you're
you up.
You're a player on the damn team. You're hooking me up. Well, I guess Jordan Love hooked his mom up, and they were still in the top section of the stadium. Sylvester Morris is a wide receiver for mine. Sly. Mm-hmm.
Sly-mo.
Sammy Parker. He makes my list, too. And then my tight end is Leonard Pope.
No, Leonard Dope, yeah.
Leo Pope, which is not the guy that currently is from Chicago that is the Pope of the world, but Leonard Pope is my tight end. That's my offensive players. Offensive line, what Bob said.
You got to get your own offensive line. Who did I have at center?
Westmanger.
Mm-hmm.
There was some, like, Westdinger guy you mentioned.
No, there's no Westdinger.
Well, what was that guy's name?
Rudy Niswanger.
Okay.
Niswanger.
Yeah.
Who's on your line?
Give me Wanye Morris, Kingsley Sumatia.
Wow.
No. But I would put probably, I don't know. Wanye Morris, I mean, a couple more bad plays. He'll be up there.
He's been in the league a year.
Mm-hmm. 2 years. No, this will be his third season.
A quarterback on your list played one game.
I know. But he's already ready to write off Wanye Morris.
Dang,
that guy never played. I got a body of work on Matt Gutierrez. One game.
D'Anthony Thomas comes in the text line. Cyrus Gray. I thought about Cyrus Gray. Remember, he's a 6th-round pick.
Yeah, what do you expect out of that guy?
Yeah, like I wanted him to be good, but
who was the guy you said before that?
D'Anthony Thomas.
I mean, why? Did you have expectations that he was going to be the next?
A lot of people did.
Yeah, well, that's your fault. I mean, that's not his fault. It's not his fault that he didn't live up to your expectations.
But he was drafted. Was he drafted high? Was he top 3-round pick?
I feel like a 3rd-round pick.
Yeah, top 3-round pick.
Just because somebody has speed in college doesn't mean they're going to be any good in the pros. In fact, they often don't.
No, yeah. No Kadarius Toney from 785.
Yep.
And it's too easy.
Yeah.
And also, he had a big play in a Super Bowl to help you win a Super Bowl, so it's hard to put him on the list ahead of other people like John Baldwin.
Honestly, think about it. I'm going to go Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, he's another. He was either him or McCoy that I was going to take.
Yeah, I thought about them too.
Yeah. LeSean McCoy got shoes before Josh did, which is still criminal.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Somebody says Peyton Hillis, running back.
Well, I don't think he was bad.
He's on the cover of Madden. Yeah. And then the Chiefs got him the very next year. Remember that? Cover of Madden, Peyton Ellis. Wow, what a day. Somebody says Nile Davis. Come on now.
Oh. Nile Davis had a great return to give us our first playoff win that nobody wants to talk about.
It was awesome. Against the Diane Houstons.
Yeah.
35-0.
Yeah. That was a 35-0.
It was 35-0 game. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yep. Blew him out in that game. Nobody wants to talk about that playoff game. Everybody forgets that that game happened.
Yeah, the next week wasn't as fun, but it was still okay.
Hey, it was all right. Playoff win on the road, man.
First time they'd done that in 20-some years to just get a playoff win, let alone on the road. And it's like, oh, okay, they just beat Houston at noon, and you know, their Houston time slot game.
Yeah, that is funny when they came out the schedule.
Oh, it's awesome, yeah. Yeah. Houston will play the first wild card game at 3 o'clock on Saturday on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Somebody says, Lucas Niang, Turk. I played golf with a guy named Turk one time. Said he had 3 hole-in-ones. Nobody believed him.
Turk who?
I don't know. Wore makeup like he Turk was Gordon. Mel Gibson in Braveheart, and it was like a new sunscreen that some golfers were wearing. I was like, nobody's wearing that, man, but I'll ride with you.
I have no problem if people want to put any kind of sunscreen on their face. Go for it, man.
Yeah, it was like blue and red and white all across his face.
Good for him. Keep that sun off you. Keep that cancer away. Who did you say? Turk?
McBride?
I don't know.
Wasn't he a Turk defensive
Wharton?
Player?
They're Tershawn both Wharton.
Defensive players.
Yeah. A lot of Brady Quinns are making the list.
Lucas Niang's a good one.
Lucas Niang was a big failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a lot of expectation for him, and then he took the year off because of COVID and never recovered. Mm-hmm. Don't take a year off of the NFL.
I'm surprised nobody said Orlando Brown or Juwan Taylor with all the hate those guys got.
Yeah, but they were like Orlando Brown was fine.
Orlando Brown was solid.
Juwan Taylor's a good player.
Yeah. I'll forever die on that hill.
Somebody says, I remember Jackie Battle. I remember Eric Winston and Snoop Menace.
Eric Winston was a good lineman. He just didn't have a good moment.
So all you Chiefs fans that get mad at these people that say, oh, yeah, most people must be a Chiefs fan, just send them those names on Twitter. And then they'll be like, oh, okay, this guy's a
people
diehard.
People think, though, but fandom only happens like in the immediacy.
Oh,
right?
I became a Royals fan in 2014.
Yeah, right.
We are athletes, okay?
Not gladiators.
We are athletes. We're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Colosseum. Mm-hmm. People pay their money, hard-earned money, to come in here. And I believe they can boo, they can cheer, they can do whatever they want. Because I believe that, hey, we're lucky to play this game, a game, to come in here. And people, it's hard economic times, and they still pay the money to do this. Okay? But when somebody gets hurt,
toilet flush.
There are long-lasting ramifications to the game we play. Long-lasting ramifications of the game we play. All right? I've already kind of come to the understanding I probably won't live as long because I play this game, and that's okay. That's the choice I've made. That's a choice all of us has made. But when you cheer somebody getting knocked out, I don't care who it is, and it just so happened to be Matt Cassel, it's sickening. It's 100% sickening.
And that wasn't even the greatest moment of that 2012 season. That was just the beginning.
No doubt. There you go.
I'll never forget calling Binkley. Bank, run this now.
I don't know, man. As you go, man. Coming up on the other side, we lost a legend of all time. Mr. Norm is no longer with us. We get into sitcom characters, plus we get your reactions here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you what, my friends over at Underdog are making it so much fun this baseball season. And for sports fans in the state of Missouri, listen up, because the Underdog app is available to play now in Missouri, and you can go yard all baseball season long with Underdog's Champions Game. Underdog is a leading place to make all of your sports selections, and like I said, you can now play in Missouri. Millions of fans have already won billions making plays on Underdog. I love the Underdog app. In fact, I love combining entries from different sports, basketball, baseball, both going on tonight. A couple of basketball selections, couple of baseball selections combined into one entry, and see what you can do. And to play, all you have to do is download the app and choose whether a player will go higher or lower on one of their stats. And you can choose from things like home runs and strikeouts, total bases, and so much more. And once that entry feels good, you can play with as little as a dollar. So if you get everything right, you could win up to 1,000 times your money. Download the Underdog app now and sign up with promo code BOB to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit with promo code BOB. Must be 18 and over and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.